The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Some of the scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." He said to them in reply, "An evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and there is something greater than Jonah here. At the judgment, the queen of the south will arise with this generation and condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. What I thought we'd do again today is we would continue talking about the book of Exodus that we hear in our first reading, because you only hear from the book of Exodus once every other year. So let's continue doing that, okay? And remember, the value of the book of Exodus is that it is a metaphor for our lives. Just like the Israelite people traveled through the desert to the promised land, so too we are traveling through this life, through this desert, to the promised land of heaven. And the value is, the way the Israelite people treated God in the book of Exodus, that's the way we respond to God in our own time. A lot of lessons to be learned. We haven't learned a darn thing. So let's bring ourselves up to speed now, just to everything that's happened up until this first reading. Up until now, God has revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush and told Moses to go to Pharaoh and have his people set free. Pharaoh refused, and as a consequence, God rained down on Israel 10 plagues of biblical proportion, the worst of which was the 10th, which was the death of every firstborn child in the land. And after that plague, Pharaoh said to Moses, "Get out of my country and take your God with you." So away Moses goes, and they're going across the desert, and that brings us to the beginning of our first reading today. Pharaoh says, "What the heck have I done? I've let all of my workers run away free." And he sends all of his chariots down through across the desert to chase down Moses and the Israelites and to bring them back. And when the Israelites see the threat that they're under, they lose faith in God. When the Israelites have to suffer, they see that they're immediately under this threat, they lose faith in God. And as you heard in the first reading, with no shortage of irony, they say to Moses, "Weren't there any burial plots in Egypt that you had to lead us out here into the desert to die?" Now, God does not deliver them immediately from their hardships. God is a dramatist. He's going to use this hardship to show his people who he really is. You know what's happening next with the Red Sea like a wall to their right and to their left. You know what's happening next. But God wanted to use this hardship to show his people and to show the Egyptians who he really is. With the point being that he's still doing that today. He is not delivering you from all of your hardships because he has a greater good in mind, a lesson that he needs to teach. So a little thought for the day is this. Very often we believe that our faith will make us happy. Now it's true, your faith will give you peace no matter what. Your faith will give you meaning every single hour of every single day. No matter what, your faith will bring you joy even in the midst of the most bitter sorrows. But it's a terrible mistake to think that your faith will always make you happy, because it just won't. You ever heard of the prosperity gospel? The prosperity gospel, it's this idea that God's going to make you rich. very popular among 19th century robber barons like Rockefellers and Vanderbilts, and among 21st century televangelists. The prosperity gospel, it's a Protestant thing. It's really not anything that we really have here in the Catholic faith. However, the idea that your faith is always going to make you happy, that's first cousin of the prosperity gospel. It's basically no different. It's just not true that all things are going to work together for your immediate earthly well-being. Following your faith, it gets you in a lot of trouble. Gets you in trouble with your family, gets you in trouble with your friends, gets you in trouble with the authorities. Gosh, the way things are going in this country, living your faith might just get you thrown in jail. Who knows, maybe someday living your faith is going to get you killed. Of course, we pray that we don't ever come to that, but there's no guarantees. God simply does not promise to deliver you from all of your hardships. What he promises, rather, is to make everything work out for your long-term well-being. And this is what we must never forget. The Israelite people, they suffered this hardship, and God made it work out for their long-term well-being. It was something they were supposed to remember, but they didn't remember it. And what we need to do is we need to learn a lesson from the book of Exodus. Let's not be like the Israelite people. Let's not be so short-sighted that we expect everything to be for our immediate earthly and temporal well-being. Do not let present sadness cause you to forget God's long-term love. God is fighting for you. He is still on the job. He does not lose battles, and he is worthy of your trust. Amen.